This is Left, Right and Center, and I'm Maria Shakil. Expressing concern over India's declining population growth, RSS Chief Mohan Bhagwat on Sunday advocated for each couple to have at least three children. He said if the total fertility rate of a society falls below 2.1, it faces risk of extinction. Mr. Bhagwat said, and I'm quoting him, many languages and cultures have already disappeared due to this issue. Thus, it is essential to maintain a fertility rate above 2.1. Let me give you some statistics here. According to National Family Health Survey data, which was released in 2021, India's TFR, which is total fertility rate, the average number of children a woman gives birth to in her lifetime declined from 2.2 in 2015-2016 to 2 during 2019-2021. A TFR of 2.1 is considered as the replacement rate. The RSS, which is the ideological fountainhead of the BJP, had in 2015 also passed a resolution calling for a comprehensive population policy. 3 years later, it advocated for a uniform law to ensure demographic balance applicable to all communities. However, this advisory of sorts is coming at a time when many states have advocated two-child policy and even incentivized employees who have two children. India, let's not forget, is today the most populated country in the world. So can it really afford to back an idea of this nature? That's our debate at this hour. But first, let's listen in to what the RSS Supremo said.
पृथ्वीच्या पाठीवर तो राहत नाही गेलो कोणी त्याला मारेल असं नाही तो काही नसलं संकट तरी तो समाज नष्ट होतो पुढे चालत नाही
मोहन भागवत जी को देश के पॉप्युलेशन के बारे में बहुत चिंता हो रही आज हमारी देश की पॉप्युलेशन लगभग 150 करोड़ हो गई और कितनी पॉपुलेशन बढ़ाना चाहते हैं सर संघ चालक और कितनी पॉपुलेशन बढ़ाना चाहते हैं आप बताइए सबसे पहले ये जो सलाह है आपके बीजेपी के लोगों को दीजिए
अब ये तो उनकी अपनी सोच है और ये जाहिर करता है कितना दिवालिया हो चुके हैं ये लोग किस ढंग पर सोचते हैं देश तब आगे बढ़ेगा जब गरीबी दूर होगी बेरोजगारी दूर होगी भ्रष्टाचार दूर होगा और महंगाई कब होगी
लेट मी ब्रिंग इन फॉर्मर यूनियन मिनिस्टर फॉर वुमेन एंड चाइल्ड डेवलपमेंट रेणुका चौधरी आल्सो कांग्रेस एमपी ma'am, thank you so much for speaking to NDTV. In India, there is currently 149 million people who are above the age of 60, which represent 10.5% of the population. And reports are suggesting that by 2050, this figure is going to surge to 347 million, which will be around 28.8% of the population. So if there are concerns over aging population, then why should RSS chief's statement be seen in a negative light?
No, we are not seeing it as negatively. We are just amazed and amused that we have to keep producing children to, I don't know, fill what unmet need. I'm not understanding that. And on top of that, what are the facilities? If you look at our aging population, we are not going to end up like Japan and Germany, which have negative growth. Japan has negative growth. So it's not as if we are going to get, but yes, we are having an increasing aging population. But listen, you've got to solve the fundamentals. You need jobs. We're educating our children. We are jobless. They're going around. So no one's getting married because no one's willing to give a girl to a boy who doesn't have a job or vice versa. And the girls are getting smarter and they don't want to get married at all to start with. So there are social issues which need to be addressed first, primarily. And it's no longer, it's like those supposedly progressed nations which reduce their childbirth and are in trouble today. But then if we want to have increased our childbirth, you have to facilitate. It's very difficult getting school admissions. It's even more horrendous that you pay the kind of fees that you do for medicine and engineering and then you roam around jobless. Well past your prime because you're not getting life partners who are willing to stay with you when you're jobless. So I think joblessness is a huge issue that the government has to address before preaching to us about how many children we should have.
Ms. Chaudhary, one concern which has been shared by the RSS chief is that if there are not enough children, then who will really protect the language and culture? Do you think this is needed for ensuring that our heritage is protected?
This is oversimplifying matters, and it's really apples and oranges. How does that even compare to the social reality? First of all these happy bachelors in the RSS are talking about us women having to have children to save the nation, save the culture, save the community and save the religion. But all these happy men who have never ever managed to get married or looked after children and brought them up, do they realize the reality of bringing up children today? Is there any understanding? Do they realize what it means? Do you know how tough it is to bring up a child with adulterated food in the market, with crime against women and children climbing every year, with unemployment soaring, with husbands losing their jobs, the housing situation for the poor? There's so many issues. So it's not enough that this responsibility falls on us women, where we have to supply these three children in order to uphold the nation or community or whatever else you want. So that's oversimplifying, saying that this will conserve the cultures and all. It's not like other nations who don't have children don't have cultures. They do have cultures and they conserve and preserve in a different way. I'm not saying don't have children, but please, before we preach like this, make sure that you have a social atmosphere where it facilitates a mother to happily give birth. Maternal mortality still remains a challenge. We have small incremental improvements, but not enough. And we are educating our girls, and there are no jobs anywhere. So, I mean, there's so many issues that need to be addressed.
Do you think the question is also of resources that has to be addressed? The larger question is that childbirth often affect a woman's mental health. We have been emphasizing also on the choice of motherhood. Why should men be deciding for women here?
This is exactly what I said. This is precisely, I said, all these happy bachelors will decide how many children we've got to have. And we know the social and reality of what it is to bring up a child and keep the child safe and ensure that they reach adulthood. When the day this country gives us adequate budgets in women and child, if you see there are only cuts, there's no real growth in women and children. And you see malnutrition and stunting going on even today. And so I put their money where their mouth is. If the budgets of family welfare, women and child welfare, all these education, if you invest more in these areas, then we can think about talking like this. But without that, forget it. Sorry.
Okay, last question to you. Do you think there is a larger problem of understanding fertility problem in India? The fact is that India's fertility rate is declining, but India is also the most populous country.
No, fertility rates are dropping not just in India. It's an old international phenomena that's happening. Male sperm counts have dropped all over the world. And it's ironic that the populous country in the world have so many fertility clinics all around the corner. There is a huge phenomena that is happening where the human pheromones are being desensitized because of all the phylates and perfumes that we advertise and use. And the natural pheromones which people could scent and accept from each other have vanished into the polluted air, not even the thin air. So the fertility rates are dropping to some extent, but not to the extent where we start producing children. And certainly women are not in the rabbit mode where we produce children to satisfy the RSS and the BJP's urging. Because they've got to really put their money where their mouth is. This is what I've been saying. How many children has RSS brought up? How many people have they adopted or have they looked after or produced? And do they even understand what it is to be a woman in this country and to bring up a child also? And yes, we need to have the choice and control over our bodies. We had a whole lot of our in utero killings of girl children. And we barely stumbling out of it. We barely got out of it where a girl child is bumped off even before she's born. And this was something that we had pointed out. I had pointed out and passionately followed in so many ways to ensure that pregnant women had the right to choose whether they had to abort a girl child or not. And there's no respect for women until the woman becomes the central figure of her family, where the family invests in her health and well-being. How many household budgets actually look at investing in a woman's health? The woman herself denies herself so many simple, accesses to better health and better nutrition. And until people realize that she is the central figure, then this business of saying Mother Earth and all, and there's going to be no mother around very soon. So they've got to understand that before they preach to us and tell us what to do. It actually smacks of hypocrisy because they haven't got their act together. Why is it our responsibility to produce children to whole cultures? You go ahead and do what you have to do to set things right.
Some pertinent points being made there by Renuka Chaudhary. Pleasure having you on my show, ma'am. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's bring in the guests now. Professor Geeta Bhatt is an author and political analyst. We have Poonam Mutreja, Executive Director of Population Foundation of India. Santosh Mehrotra is a senior economist. We also have Jyotsna, who is the national spokesperson of TDP. Poonam Mutreja, the point being made here, why should anybody be deciding and advising on this count? If you look at it, the concern is about resources. Can India really afford three children policy or at least having three children, families having at least three children?
So let me start by saying that nobody except the woman and her family decides how many children they will have, when they'll have, and what spacing they will do. So there is no question of governments or political leaders or anybody coming into the bedroom of women and deciding how many children they have. Second, total fertility is below 2.1, but that doesn't mean there's panic and that there's going to be a population collapse. Demographic change is gradual and manifests over a period of time. We must understand that replacement level fertility is basically ensuring that each generation replaces itself. When TFR falls below 2.1, the population size eventually does decline, but India has 75 years to plan and worry about when our population declines in the year 2100, begins to decline. And so we have much to learn from China. We have much to learn from Europe and other countries which have had declining populations. But if you look at Sweden, Denmark, they have implemented policies and invested in women and their well-being to help working women, especially, who want to have children. And the public support for childcare, parental leave for men and women to stabilize fertility rates has succeeded. But if you're only talking about treating women as a switch you put on, so far we've been saying we are overpopulated. There's a population explosion, so women must have fewer children. And now we are suddenly saying women must have more children. How and why does anyone think, given the demographic data globally, that women are going to listen to any leader in the country, however, whoever they may be?
Okay.
Women are not having
Rotra smile. Like, what makes you smile, sir?
First of all, Maria, all strength to your elbows. You have been a very, very good anchor in this show so far. And honestly, I agree with everything that Poonam has said. Let's face the facts here. The facts are the following. We have the RSS chief worrying essentially about समाज खत्म हो जाएगा उनके शब्द इस्तेमाल कर रहा हूं मेरे शब्द नहीं अरे भाई पूनम इज ऑलरेडी स्टेटेड द फैक्ट ही इज वरीड कि हिंदू कम हो रहा है और मुसलमान बढ़ रहा है अरे मुसलमान की जनसंख्या का अनुपात केवल 14.2% है ओनली 14.2% इन द एंटायर पॉपुलेशन आई एम श्योर द हिंदू यूपी वाला एंड द बिहारी थिंकिंग वो तो 30% है 50% है, पहली बात। तो ये 50 साल पुरानी सोच अपने 100 साल वाले संस्थान को सिखाएं, हमारे देशवासियों को न सिखाएं। और वैसे भी अगर बिहारियों को और यूपी वालों को सिखा दें तो फिर बंटाधार ही हो जाना है यूपी और बिहार का, सीधी सी बात है। मैं हिंदी में खासतौर से बोल रहा हूँ, जानबूझ के बोल रहा हूँ, जिसमें जो जो लोग अंग्रेजी नहीं समझते वो सुन लें और समझ लें कि असलियत क्या है। दीज आर दी ओनली टू मेजर स्टेट्स ऑफ दिस कंट्री, बिहार एंड यूपी, विच हैव अ फर्टिलिटी रेट ऑफ ग्रेटर देन 2.1। द एंटायर कंट्री, द रेस्ट ऑफ द कंट्री, झारखंड को मिला लीजिए, थ्री स्टेट, थ्री मेजर स्टेट, द एंटायर कंट्री हैज ऑलरेडी डिसाइडेड हाउ बिग देयर फैमिली साइजेस आर। Who is he to tell us this? And as every woman on this on your channel and panel has said this, how dare he, anyone, try to enter the bedroom? This is a global debate going on. I mean, Trump is trying to enter the bedroom there, and here, you know, we have the RSS chief trying to enter our bedroom. On what basis? We know perfectly well the fertility is on the downward. We know perfectly well that, you know, China was 550 million people. We were only 350 million people in 1950. We have become the most populous country in the world. Why? Because we didn't put the right policies in place. And certainly in the last 10 years, what we've seen is health being undermined. Public spending has not risen a slightest bit despite a national health policy, making all sorts of claims that we are 2.5% reach in 2024, May 25 May, we are only at 1.3%. Or education budget cut ho raha hai, ICDS ka budget cut ho raha hai, as the other previous speakers have been already saying. Meaning you spend less on children, you spend less on their education, you spend less on their health.
Okay.
And now you want more children. In other words, you spend even less.
Okay.
Wake up and smell the coffee.
Okay, let's get a response from Professor Geeta Bhatt on this.
Yeah, Maria, if you keep politics aside and a skewed way of looking at the statement that has been given by Mohan Bhagwatji, I think what he raised was something that is being constantly being raised by the population scientists across the world. And for this, you can look into the Lancet, which is one of the most prestigious, considered to be a prestigious medical journal. There are n number of reports which have come over there, where the issue which was actually being raised was to how to sustain a long-term generational replacement of the population. That was the concern that was being raised. Now, I just want to put forth, a little bit of figures which are there available on this website of United Nations and also on Government of India's website. If you look at the average, fertility rate across the world, from 1950 to 2021, it has come down from 4.8 to 2.23. Now, the point here is that already the population scientists have predicted that by 2050, out of 204 countries, 155 countries will have a fertility rate which will be lower than 2.1. And while Renuka ji was, mentioning, I was just remembering the forced sterilization for population control that was undertaken by Mr. Sanjay Gandhi during the emergency period by the then Congress government. And, with all respect, due respect to her, the point here is that all those countries which are, full of resources, those which are considered to be the high income countries, there the fertility rate is very, very low. Some of the countries like Norway and all, they have a fertility rate of 1.5. Italy has, France has 1.79, UK has 1.49, so on. And you can just look across. And in the coming years, the fertility rate of 2.1 and more than that has been predicted to be of most of the countries which are considered to be the low income group. So this
you know, this imbalance of the resources and the population is something which is definitely a challenge.
One aspect.
Across the globe. And if you just give me 10 seconds, I just want to put forth in terms of, because China has been mentioned time and again as a role model. I just want to put forth that in 1979, they came policy, one child policy. At that time, they had a fertility rate of more than 2.7. And in 2016, when they had a fertility rate of 1.18, they brought the two-child policy. And in 2021, they have come with a three-child policy just within 6 years, where their fertility rate is less than 1.16. And their aging population is
India,
a very big concern to the country.
In India,
so
it is 2.01.
Taken as a, you know, that is being considered as a role model, is they have suddenly realized they have woken up late, okay, considering that, you know, this is a challenge.
Okay,
so this is a matter of, you know, it is not a matter of entering bedrooms. It is a matter of discussion that we need to, you know, as a society, we need to look into, you know, we need to deliberate on this issue.
So one aspect is the difference between North Indian states and South Indian states. In North Indian states, it is 49 of every 100 babies is born in 4 North Indian states. In South Indian states, it is 16 of every 100 babies born. So, you know, and one of the states in southern India which has this norm is Andhra Pradesh. So let me try and understand from, Jyotsna, who has been extremely patient waiting for her turn. Do you think this is the step in the right direction?
Good evening, Maria, and all to my fellow panelists. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm actually surprised because the population is just seen as numbers here.
Yes.
I think it's also a science, Maria. We have to understand the logic behind it. And we also have to understand the dynamics behind it. That's pretty important. Okay. Here, there is no coercion. I don't think, especially when it comes to TDP, because our chief also mentioned about, you know, increasing the population and, you know, the population dynamics have to change. And even then, certain people, they said certain words. I don't want to quote them on here. But the point is, you know, what happens is we are not saying that every family must have 3 children or every family must have 4 children or whatnot. We are just saying that our society needs a certain number to stay vibrant and support our economy. That's the dynamics that are playing today, according to the present scenario. And it's not, and Maria, let me put it very clearly here, it's not about coercion, but purely about creating awareness and probably, in our state, we in fact have given incentives also. So probably incentives for having children within a framework that actually supports the families, like better education and employment opportunities. I would like to come back to Congress argument here, saying that do we really have the support structure out there? Let me put it very clearly here. I think we cannot forget the Beti Bachao, Beti Padao campaign. We cannot forget the Ayushman Bharat campaign. We cannot forget the Maternity Benefit Act that's been brought by the government. So providing women with choice and support. Let me quote very clearly here. Providing women with the choice and also the support is pretty important. And it's absolutely not about exploiting. It is empowering. We have to understand that also. And I believe, personally, I believe it's a proactive approach to demographic policy. And again, I request all the panelists and also the people who are trying to comment on it that please see it as a science. Do not just see it as mere numbers. Because I don't believe that, when we had the two-child policy earlier, or let's assume if the newer policy comes into picture, if the government really want to get in or something like that, it's not about numbers as such. It's about the demography and it's about the economic situation. It's about the sustainable development goals of the country. It's about the earning capacity of the country. It's about the entire country on a whole. Let's not limit it to just numbers. That's my point, Maria.
Okay.
And also one last point. You know, when I actually did not want to say it, but one of the panelists quoted, so I'm compelled to say it. Bhagwatji's statement actually did not, and it wasn't targeted at any particular community or specific community, but it was a general call for demographic stability. That's what I believe personally.
Okay. Poonam Utreja, you wanted to come in?
Yeah, I wanted to say to Professor Geeta Mohan,
Geeta Bhatt,
whether it is the Lancet or it is any other population scientist globally or in India, has not said you women should have more children. All right. Yes, population, they give you the demographic data, and everything we are saying is demographic data driven. India has the best demographic data. So what would be nice is if the conversation and comments by responsible leaders, respected leaders, is done on the basis of population science. I couldn't agree with you more. But here the comments have not necessarily been on the basis of data and population science. And finally, I do want to say that it is not something, women's bodies is not something that we should play politics on. Which, and this I'm not saying to Geeta Mohan, I'm saying to everybody. The autonomy of women, the reproductive justice that they need when they want fewer children, they can't afford.
Geeta Bhatt, will you respond to that 30 seconds and then I'll start wrapping up this discussion.
Well, Maria, I just want to submit is that, you see, the this is not a rocket science. We all know that, nature has given the power to a woman to procreate. And hence, when if you're talking about in terms of family, whether you're talking in terms of children, definitely women are, they are something which are considered to be, are someone who need to be empowered in every possible way in terms of, having education, good health, for bearing children. That is important. Definitely, no one is denying that. But the point here is that there are certain other aspects also which we need to look into in terms of that, how the data, especially Maria, as you mentioned, in terms of South and North. In South, if you see, the fertility rate is below 2 in most of the states, but that is not the case in the north. In a 2015-16 report says that in Uttar Pradesh, 1/3 of the districts, they have a fertility rate of more than 3. Bahraich has a fertility rate of 4.2. So this disparity of the fertility rate is also there in among the states within the country.
Okay.
And therefore we need to look into these aspects also. But here it is, you see, we need to look at things dispassionately and in terms of a matter of raising that this is a concern which might be in future.
Family planning is hardly dispassionate. It concerns a lot of emotions and passion, and that is the reason why there is so much of view or debate around it. Yes, Santosh Mehrotra, you wanted to say something, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, very briefly, Maria. Listen, the RSS never speaks without a forked tongue. And what the meaning, the metatext here is very simple. The North is not having enough children. We need more children in the North. The South is getting worried that they should have more children, but the North is not worrying about that. And we are about to have a delimitation, and the South is going to actually exceed their expectations, so that they will get more seats. There is a meta text here, and there is a meta text also in respect of the Hindu and Muslim. The Muslim fertility rate has come down so sharply; it's come down much faster than that of the Hindus. And at the same time, what's interesting is that he won't recognize that. So what he wants to see, he's also giving a message to the Muslims. He probably doesn't even know the facts about the Muslim fertility rate. He's still giving a message to the Muslims. We Hindus need to have greater fertility. This is the metatext. That's the reality.
Okay.
We've known this. This is a 100-year organization.
Jyotsna
speaks with a forked tongue.
Okay. Jyotsna.
I urge that probably dekhne ka jo nazariya hai wo badalna hai. And again, Maria, my last statement would be, let's not look at it as something like an exploitation. Let's look at it as, a thing that's bothering the entire country. So we all have to work on it. As rightly quoted by Poonamji earlier in a couple of debates related to this particular topic itself, we have to understand the dynamics behind it. We also have to understand what can we provide you know, related to education, related to employment, related to the maternity health care, related to all the other, you know, support systems and help that we have to provide women. We have to empower women. And I urge, let's not look at it as exploitation. Let's look at it as a genuine concern for the country.
All right. Professor Geeta Bhatt, Santosh Mehrotra, Jyotsna and Poonam, thank you so much for joining us.